Let's head into the healthcare hazard of the week. A few weeks ago, my mom was having some interesting symptoms that obviously needed medical attention. I called her cardiologist, her heart doctor, shared the symptoms with the nurse, and she said, "Okay, we can see her in a month." "In a month? Are you kidding?" "No," she replied, "the doctor's booked." Well, now I can understand that, but the need to see your cardiologist, stat, is not something that can wait a month. A heart problem is not like a bruise or a rash or a headache that can wait. "Hang on, Mom, can you ignore those symptoms for another 30 days? Her response, "Go see your primary care physician. He's your quarterback." Ugh, I really get tired of doctors urging me to see the primary care physician because the outcome is always the same. He refers to a specialist. So we constantly waste time and money visiting a doctor who has no solution other than to move us up the chain to a place where I know we should be to begin with. So now we have to get an appointment to see a doctor who will refer us to the cardiologist. Does that even make sense? So Mom made the appointment with Dr. Primary. Mom has used this same practice, the same assistant and the same doctor for about 40 years, or maybe more. He's also my primary care guy, whom I very seldom see. But let me share this. He's the same one who prescribed the antibiotic Cipro for me about 3 years ago when I was having some odd throat symptoms. He said I had an infection. How he knew that, I don't know. And he sent me off with this antibiotic that ultimately caused my ear to ring and did not solve my throat symptoms. And no, he never mentioned that side effect. But if you look it up, that is clearly one of the prominent warnings about Cipro. Then he sent me off to see a specialist, an ENT, an ear, nose, and throat guy, who prescribed Nexium. You know, the little purple pill for acid reflux. Somehow my gut told me that I should do some more investigative work before beginning this treatment, and ultimately I solved my own problem with apple cider vinegar and some diet changes. But that's another story. By the way, my ear has not stopped ringing since that day, so my feelings toward the ability of this Dr. Primary are not so trusting. Nevertheless, he's known my mom and her unique and twisted health history, so I went along to be the advocate, another set of eyes and ears. Notice I did not say a mouth, because I very specifically make it a point not to speak during her appointments, unless, of course, I have to. Mom and I were directed into the exam room by the bustling Dr. Primary, who didn't even take a moment to say, "Hello, haven't seen you in years. You look good, blah, blah, blah." "Sit," he ordered. Then in a sharp tone, "What can I do for you today?" My gosh, how I hate that comment. "What can I do for you?" Is it just me, or does that smack of arrogance, of a one-sided, "I'm important"? Well, she proceeded to tell him that she was feeling short of breath, coughing, and needed oxygen during the day now instead of just at night. He interrupted her, swiveled his chair in my direction, looked at me in the face, and demanded, "Why is she on oxygen?" Wow, I felt like I was back in school. Was this a trick question? She's been on oxygen for the past 6 years at night. "You're not answering my question," he snapped. "Why is she on oxygen?" "Well, because her oxygen saturation levels are low while sleeping, and we had it tested, and oxygen was prescribed." "I understand how that works," he insisted, "but why is she on oxygen?" "Seriously? I looked at my mom for some help here." He began to grow in posture, turned red, and yelled at me, "You're not answering my question. Has anyone mentioned COPD to you?" No. "Well, then why is she on oxygen?" he demanded, as he just about lunged at me from his seat. I physically backed up in my chair, sensing that he was going to grab me, and put out my hands and said, "Whoa." Every instinct in my body told me to get up, gather my mom, and get the heck out of there. But then what? Where would we go? Who would we see? So I dropped my eyes, no longer made eye contact with him, and plastered my face with my best look of irritation. He did his cursory blood pressure exam, mumbled a few words, and sent Mom off to the blood lab and downstairs for a chest x-ray. All the while, I was livid, asking her, what the heck was that all about? What just happened? Mom tried to make nice and suggested that he felt threatened. What? I very specifically had not said a word Not one word prior to his attacking me. We got the blood work done, as well as the x-ray, and went back upstairs to his office. He ushered us in and said, blah, 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 let me refer you to a specialist. No kidding. And then he said this. He said, let's continue this conversation at the front desk. Thinking that we were going to move to another venue to talk a little bit further, he handed us off to the assistant who made the appointment with the specialist, and we never saw him again. He did not explain the results of the chest x-ray, or really why he was referring us to the specialist. He did not ask if we had any questions. He did not say goodbye. Now, I spend my days talking about the patient experience, trying to educate and inform patients and healthcare workers. And I say, wow, if this is what's really going on in the real world, then I need to do more than talk. This man needs to be throttled. Actually, he needs to be reported. He needs to retire. The assistant handed us a piece of paper, a summary of the appointment, and I just have to shake my head. On the report, it stated that in addition to talking about Mom's symptoms, they discussed how to manage her diabetes. Hello, my mom doesn't have diabetes, and never, ever was the word diabetes even uttered during that appointment. Well, guess what? Now he can bill for a diabetes discussion, plain and simple. That's what that is all about. Well, I hashed this entire encounter around in my mind all night, and when I got up the next morning, I told Bob, I'm going to call this character today and discuss the way he treated me. He simply cannot get away with that kind of aggressive behavior. What if he acts like that to others? As if psychic, the phone rang. It was Dr. Primary, looking for my mom to share the blood test results with her. Ha-ha! He got me instead. He hurriedly bustled through the results, assuming I wouldn't know what he was saying, but instead I asked specific questions about certain results that clearly annoyed him. As he tried to get off the phone, I said, you know, I'm happy you called because I have a question. Why did you attack me yesterday? His response? I thought you felt that way. Why did you feel that I attacked you? Because you did? Well, I'm sorry you felt that way, he said quite flatly. Well, it was out of line, I told him, and quite uncalled for. His reply? I'm glad we had this conversation. My reply? Oh, and by the way, my mom doesn't have diabetes like your office visit summary suggests. And he said, that's because we're managing it. Oh, my heavens, and he's supposed to be the quarterback. He doesn't even know that for the past 6 years my mom's been on oxygen, doesn't know that she doesn't have diabetes. What a waste of time. My fear here is that there are more of these doctor primary types out there terrorizing patients, patients who may become so intimidated that they question nothing, and in doing so become sicker than they need to be. If my experience is indicative of what's going on out there, then we are in real trouble. Then the patient experience conversations are merely that, conversations, never put into action. Quite frankly, we shouldn't even have to talk about, have seminars, trainings, symposiums, conferences on the patient experience. How about if doctors, who after all are just people who put their pants on one leg at a time, just like the rest of us schleps, what if people just treated people with basic human kindness? Say hello in a sincere manner. Ask honest questions. Seek honest answers. Smile, pause, breathe. Don't take yourself so seriously. Touch, smile, say goodbye. It's really so simple. So when I say I was attacked by a primary care physician, that he was after me, that's what happened. But instead of my running away from him because he scared me, I'm running away because no one should be treated like that by another human being, let alone your doctor of 40 years. I'm choosing to run and will never go back to see him. He is no longer my doctor. He doesn't deserve to have me as a patient. Do you have a scary doctor? Run. Don't walk and find someone who will treat you like you deserve to be treated, with respect and dignity. The title of this radio program is called Speak Up and Stay Alive for a reason. Speak up and don't let anyone call you their patient who doesn't deserve it. Sometimes You have to speak up and stay alive.
Help! Run! He's after me!